Because it's too near the computer? Is that why it's
right over here?
Oh, this over here? Okay. Wait, wait, wait. That's better?
But do it like straight.
Like this. Like this. Okay. So we've been discussing Gina. What?
I'm saying we need like a team to like come in. I don't know,
no, this is so much more, you know. What are the teams now? very skeptical, as you could say. No, you know, we're like, you know, we're working on it sincerely. So we have a little siyata d'shmaya, and you know, we're having a good time with it too. So we're in the middle of discussing the sugya of Gina. The sugya of Gina, as we have been seeing, kind of highlights some of the issues that we already see. That's the advantage of hopefully of Hakdama, that we're already, you know, pretty sensitive and aware of some of the range of the issues, and as such, you know, it becomes you know, more obvious, or at least, you know, it becomes more accessible to pick up some of these, you know, nuances, speak of things, understand things from, you know, from the inside. So basically, we've been discussing Gina, and of course, the subtext is, you know, what it reflects about, you know, the primary character of Hezekiah, as well as the nature of that halakha, how it, you know, stacks up against Mechila, Chazaka, Kinyan, when it comes to Hezekiah. On the surface, it seems like, you know, these are very parallel topics. If there are discrepancies in either direction, surely that's, you know, significant in its own right. And that's one of the things that we want to, you know, talk about. Very hard to pin down, but at least there are a couple of small, or at least, you know, things we can think about. So getting back to Gina and where we're in the middle of the exchange between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba. So again, we have the background, which is the Mishnah, which has a very extensive Mokum Shenog, which we still need to get back to, as well as standards. But when it comes to Chatzer, the Mokum Shenog, as we've seen, is focused on details. Again, we still have to assess, you know, how, you know, technical are those details? How flexible are those details? And we're talking about material, you know, and, you know, the wall is built from certain materials. They're talking about the dimensions of the wall, meaning how thick. Those are things to, you know, to come back to. Hopefully today a little bit we can, you know, start finishing up that part. But, you know, Chutz v'Dafna, you know, on the Kal side. And, you know, the how many Tzvachim on the other. But the Mishnah does not imply at all that there's a Mokum Shenagu factor when it comes to the very din of Binyan Kosel Bechatzer. That in sharp contrast to Gina and Bika, which in the Mishnah also have a Mokum Shenagu, but their Mokum Shenagu, you know, clearly seems to relate to the practice of requiring, you know, the Kosel to begin with. That's an important contrast. Actually, that is pointed out very explicitly by anybody? Requires a little bit. Yeah, Yossi?
By the Ran.
Correct. And earlier, also by the Rajba, but not the Rajba, the Chidushim. Correct. The Ran points it out. What? Exactly. The Shuta Rajba, which we're going to look at just again, even though there's nothing that we haven't seen in it already, but just now in light of the exchange, we can just appreciate, you know, more what it adds to the, you know, to the mix. But the Rajba in the shoot, what makes this point, what is it, base Reish Samaches, makes this Ha'ara as well. And that is that there's a, you know, a clear difference between the Makom Shenagu of the Mishnah with regard to Chatzer as opposed to the others. Whereas for Rabbeinu Yonah, I mean, Rabbeinu Yonah will still tell you that there's a difference. You know, he'll say, this Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't, you know, is not defeated by this argument, obviously. It's a smaller argument. Rabbeinu Yonah will say that, you know, when it comes to Gina and to Bika, you know, the, you know, what about the Stam cases, you know, and so on. Whereas the default, you know, is that, you know, there's always a requirement of koselen, unless it's makom, shenagu, shelo livnos. So maybe that's how he'll get out of the problem. But either way, that's an issue to think about. Either way, the Gemara does have on Dalet Amud Aleph, la suye hutzav dafna, which we also, you know, it's the same reason I said before, need to assess and to go back to. The question is, what about less than hutzav dafna? Right? So again, we're talking about, you know, the relationship between standards and minhag. If, you know, you can downgrade the standards, you know, in a way that really compromises the effect of the requirement, so it's only a hop, skip, you know, and a jump, you know, from there to saying that you can have a minhag in which there is no standard. But of course, as long as, you know, even, so again, if this, of course, is the argument, one of the arguments of the Rajba, both in the Tshuva and in the Chidushim in this case, I'll say both in the Chidushim and in the Tshuva, you know, and that is that the very fact that the Gemara, you know, needs, you know, to be marbe hutzav dafna, and if you assume, that's a big if, right, that that's, you know, the bottom, that's the lowest you can go, then the implication is that you can't, you know, you can't just dispense of the requirement, you know, completely. That is the Rajba's argument. The fallacy in that argument is potentially is twofold. Number one, factually, you know, the Gemara does say hutzav dafna, but does that really mean, you know, that that's, that may be an example? It doesn't have to be, you know, the, you know, the lower limit. And indeed, there are some Rishonim, including, as interestingly, like Ramban's Psakim here are very interesting, but the Ramban, right, suggests that even something less than Hutzav Adafna, you know, might qualify. So just on a factual level, presumably the Ramban, you know, would still require the protection, you know, against Hezek Re'ia, even if we're dealing with flimsier material. Again, the Rambam uses the expression, somebody has it open. Oh, did I bring it or not? I should have brought it through. I don't know why I didn't. Perek Beis Halacha, what is it, Tezvav? You have it there, Jonathan? Tezvav. Tezain, we'll get to that. Sagina, we'll get to that.
Oh.
So then Bilvad is the Rambam's addition. Yeah, it's very important to know. Of course, it's very reasonable. But it's important to know it's the Rambam's addition because, you know, again, if you were, you know, if you're joining this debate between the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba, you know, the Rajba's arguing this is the lowest, you know, limit. You know, and therefore, kosher kain, you know, there can't be a situation where we follow a minhag to simply abandon, you know, the requirement. And as I just said, the Ramban of all people, who's a huge machmir, you know, and has a great, you know, an ardent follower of the Rif, the Chuvasa Rif in this matter, nonetheless is open to even flimsier, you know, structures. Although again, it's fascinating to look at the Ramban. We'll sum this up. But the Ramban is like a machmir when it comes to dimensions, and a mako when it comes to material. Okay. Either way, right, so it could be lower. But, you know, then the question is, like, what is the significance of Hutzav Adafna itself already in the Gemara, because that's on the Mishnah? And, you know, again, if we're talking about, you know, potential even lower, so what is, you know, does that mean anything? Just, you know, it's another way of saying that, again, if you look carefully in the Ramban, I think it's clear that the Ramban will say, the Gemara didn't mean, you know, dafka hutzav dafna. You know, that's also included in the, even when the Gemara says hutzav dafna, it's not la fuke, you know, the standards. It's, you know, an extended, you know, understanding of a legitimate, you know, standard. But you could have said, you know, like if you were Rabbeinu Yonah and you wanted to make this, if this was the view of Rabbeinu Yonah, I don't think it is, I'll explain in a second, you could have said, oh, Hutzav Adafna is already a compromise. And certainly if you can go lower than Hutzav Adafna, then maybe you really could compromise. Maybe you could argue with the Rambam you know, either about Hutza V'Dafna or about that lower level for those who believe in it, and say that, you know, even if it provides a lesser protection, you know, when it comes to the actual hezekiah. This is one of the things we're going to have to discuss. I mean, what is this whole standard question? You know, is it bureaucracy? I mean, you have to build a wall, so you have to build it from this material. You have to build a wall, you have to build it this thickness. It's all bureaucracy, or, you know, if we don't have standards, people won't do it. Or there's something, you know, more fundamental about it, even if it isn't d'oraisa. And if so, what is that? We've already alluded to it. Is it a hezekiah thing, which makes it really important? Is it a dine mumminus, you know, arrangement, in which case it could still be important, you know, or it more, might be just kind of a peripheral side, you know, issue. But either way, what I'm saying is that the Rambam's comment that Hutza V'Dafna maintains the quality of protection and hezekiah is an important comment. Like, if you were to be cholek with that, you know, and in theory one could, because Minim Gadina, you know, that's Koveya the Kapeda or the Mechila. So like, how far would you go to say, even if there's no, you could say, you could argue with the Rambam, you know, say a lesser material works, and even if a lesser material is less protective in the quality that it provides, you know, as a remedy. But that doesn't mean you could, you know, forego, you know, anything. And then you could go all the way down to saying, no, you could forego anything. You know, like, we don't know the Rabbeinu Yonah's, well, we know, we'll see that he also has very high standards for some of these things. But in theory, one could have said that in response to the Rajba. So one perspective in combating the Rajba's argument in the Chidushim and in the Tshuva from Hutza V'Dafna is to argue, you know, that Hutza V'Dafna is already a compromise, or that factually you can go lower than Hutza V'Dafna, and that you can go lower than Hutza V'Dafna even if it does compromise, you know, on hezekiah. That would be against the way, again, I think we have some of these things, a little bit in the Rambam, a little in the Ramban, you know, and so on, as I've said. I honestly think that that's not the pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah. Yossi, what would you say? What is the pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah? What's it going to add? Let's assume Rabbeinu Yonah, and we'll try to document this thing. So also there's a minimum of, you know, Hutza V'Dafna. Or if not Hutza V'Dafna itself, then like the Rambam says, something gives protection for hezekiah. So on the surface, the Rajba has a strong argument, right? If indeed, you know, even the standards, you know, need to be minimum in a wall, and Kolshkein can't drop the, you know, the obligation to have a wall, what might be the Rabbeinu Yonah's answer to that? Acknowledging that it's a good argument, right? It can be a good argument. It doesn't have to be a, you know, a conclusive argument, right? Oh, David? Any David? I meant David blank, but anybody wants to jump in? Yeah, Yossi. Back to Yossi.
So if you would say that there's a lower level of hezekiah, but still Chazal lacks the standard that once you're going to be back to that hezekiah, they don't want a situation where the house is going down. At the point where you're back there, they want to keep the
certain or even in terms of the, right, just correct, as opposed to?
As Rajbo specifically rejects that point.
Oh, so it's interesting, meaning what you're saying, don't tell me if I'm overstating it, is that Rabbeinu Yonah probably holds, and this is why I made a little bit of a, you know, fuss about, you know, the language of Mokom Shalom Makpidim and so on. And that is, maybe the point is that where there is a category of hezekiah, or where the venue that we're speaking about, you know, is the dynamic that we're speaking about, is one in which it's shayach to talk about hezekiah. So then there are standards. There are minimal standards. Now, again, you're already getting a little bit fancy. You know, I don't know if we need to commit ourselves to some of those things, although you're right that those are the issues, meaning minimal standards which are violated because you're worried about it falling down, minimal standards, you know, psychologically because people don't know that it, you know, that it fully accomplishes. You know, are we worried about the interim period or the danger of it falling down? Or are we, you know, just concerned about, well, if I have to do this already, I don't want to pay, you know, again, is it a financial concern? Whatever it is, right? But the bigger point that you're making, which I totally think is correct, is that, you know, b'mokom sheyesh chalos hezek re'ia, you know, the idea that there will be standards for that, you know, is a very reasonable, you know, demand. However, that doesn't mean that there can't be, you know, an agreement, not just between two parties. There can't be like a local, you know, on a city level or on a town level or on a county level, whatever it is. You know, there can't be a culture in which, you know, a chatzer, you know, is not perceived or is not treated, you know, as a private precinct. Again, if you're talking about a bias, you know, that would obviously be much more difficult, you know, to talk about. But if you're talking about a chatzer, and let's take it even as, you know, a step further, going back to things that I've said, the very fact that there's a machlokus, whether hezek ria shma hezek and a chatzer, you know, is conceivably relevant, right, to the quality of hezek ria, you know, according to the mandamar hezek ria as nezek, according to mandamar hezek ria shma hezek. In other words, if there's a mandamar, 50% of the shakla vataria thinks that there's no requirement whatsoever in a chatzer. So the idea that, you know, makom shenagu, prevailing norms, prevailing sensibilities, can be koveya, you know, about a particular place. Remember the Gemara, we still have to go through each case very quickly, hopefully. But, right, the Gemara makes distinctions. Gemara starts off with the assumption, hezek riyashma hezek lo shma hezek, is an absolute argument. And as I said, that's very reasonable, because we're trying to figure out, you know, you didn't hit him with anything. There's no physical blemish. You know, it's hezek shein nikar in that sense. And kol mara v'reya ain't lehem, you know, mishum mamish or whatever. So, you know, if spying or privacy invasion is not a problem, it's not a problem. That's the assumption of the Gemara when it starts out. Then you get Gina. Now, Gina, what the answer is, you know, with Ein Abisha, well, we're in the middle of that. We'll get back to that. But whatever you want to say about that, then that's, we're finishing off today. What about also Hezeka de Rabim, Hezeka de Rishus Harabim, you know, Hezeka, you know, de Bias, you know, where it's easily defensible, you know, and you can protect yourself, as opposed to, you know, the dynamic of a gag, you know, versus a chatzer, meaning the whole shaka vataria, base on the base, shiny this, shiny that, shiny the next thing, and shiny the one after that, right? Those four cases where the Gemara thought we had a raya that hezek re'ia and chatzer shma hezek, and the Gemara says, no, chatzer is different than all those four cases. So again, it leaves us in a position to wonder that even if you, you know, what happens when you paskin hezek re'ia shma hezek? Right, so you could say, okay, there's a hierarchy and hezek re'ia is included, but it's still the lowest on the totem pole. It's the biggest chiddush. And if it's the biggest chiddush, then is it not reasonable, you know, that maybe people's, you know, broader sensibilities, you know, not necessarily, you know, the two protagonists in this case, like you live in a place where there's a certain expectation, you know, about the kind of conduct that takes place in a chatzer, both in terms of the ubiquity of its usage, like the first Rashi, right, in on the Mishnah, you know, talks about how, you know, ikar tashmisho b'chatzer. But I don't even mean that. I mean the expectation of privacy, you know, in that. So is it so strange to think, let me just say in a bigger way, like in a zoning kind of a sense, or in the sense of, you know, defining, you know, what, like, what's private and what's personal, what's private, you know, and what's more, you know, just common use or maybe even commercial use, right? Like zoning laws are intended, you know, to control, right, the relationship between, you know, private, you know, personal, you know, and commercial endeavors. Like how they do that in different cultures, different systems, you know, is a very fascinating question. And a lot of it is just very flexible. But what I'm saying is, can a place, you know, and this question is not so much like, oh, my mochel, my hezegriya. Like there is hezegriya, you know, I'm going to let it all hang out. You know, I'm transparent, you know, in this sense, you know, as well. Right? That touches on, you know, questions of Iser, of Yoredeya, maybe of Gedor and Shel Yisrael, of, you know, Nizke Guf, you know, Bilti Nizval, all those kind of things. But maybe what I'm saying is basically the relationship between Mokom Shenagu and the relationship between Mechila and Chazaka, etc., while they touch on the same exact issues, might be different. And they might be different in either direction. You know, maybe there's no such, we never don't recognize any place that doesn't have privacy standards within, you know, precincts that we typically, you know, associate as being private. But if people, you know, in their own dynamic and interrelationship want to rewrite, you know, or want to redefine, you know, what constitutes, you know, a personal space as opposed to private ownership, but a more transparent space or even a commercial space, they can do that. By the same token, we might say the opposite, and that is, you know, determining what constitutes like this kind of zoning idea, namely what constitutes, you know, personal space and therefore private space, is not something that, you know, individuals who live within a certain cultural milieu, a certain kind of cultural framework, you know, have the right to determine. The perception and the expectation, you know, culturally in that place, you know, is different. And that's already something that the halacha thinks is koveya. But if it's makom, right, shenagu, you know, lo lehitiaches, you know, kemakom prati, then that might be a whole different, who says, you know, just like there was an argument about chatzer, so good, we paskind, you know, in a certain way. But it doesn't mean, you know, that there's no flexibility. So maybe the flexibility doesn't apply to the individuals. Maybe it only applies to the larger cultural and social context. That is, I think, what Rabbeinu Yonah means. So when the Rashba says, listen, we can prove it, because you can't go lower than the standards of Hutzah V'Dafna, even when you're still combating Hezegriya. Kol Shekein, you can't drop Hezegriya. It's a very reasonable argument. But Rabbeinu Yonah, and he himself, I think you mentioned that just a second ago, right, Yossi? You have the line, but it's curious the way he kind of, he says, and lest you'll say, go ahead, you have it in the Kiddushim. Meaning in the case of Hutzah V'Dafna, we're talking about a culture, a society in which Hezegriya is a kalos, and therefore there's a minimum standard. Keep going. Oh, what's that?
That specifically would be the reason why they've been acting in the standard.
So, right. So here the Rashba, I think, kind of touches on the chiluk that I'm suggesting, which I do think is at root of Rabbeinu Yonah. Mokom Shein Makpidim. Mokom Shein Makpidim is different than, you know, Hamazik V'Hanizak Eina Makpidim. That's what I'm trying to say. And he kind of suggested, well, you say the place is different than the standards when they, but he kind of trivializes it by saying, well, anyways, no one, there's always like a Hezekiah, you know, kind of a window of flexibility when it falls down, right? You have that line again?
So the next line he says,
so is that comparable to, he's saying, okay, no, but that nonetheless, First of all, I'm not so sure whether that's really true. The low, it could be that for the Ramban in particular, as we'll see, that's why you have all these other standard issues, because you don't even want to have to worry about that or have to come to that. But again, you know, you could argue that there's a huge difference between those two things. But you have a culture and you have a category of privacy, right? But of course, there's an understanding that there will be moments, you know, I don't mean moments, but there'll be a time period sometime, right, where you have to adjust, right, where you need to, you know, give people time to remedy. That's different than, you know, this society doesn't look at a chatzer, you know, as a private, you know, spot that reflects your attitude towards, you know, tzniusa. This society sees chatzeros as more of a, like, you know, commercial zone, or, you know, as a kind of a neutral, you know, in terms of value. You know, it's a private area, but it's not a personal area. You know what I'm saying? So that's not comparable to the town. I'm not saying, oh, there'll be times when. Okay. So I think this is a really, really, like, an important killer. Good. Having said that, that I think explains a lot about Rabbeinu Yonah. It explains a lot about Rabbeinu Yonah, even if we were to assume that Rabbeinu Yonah was machmir when it comes to chazaka and bechila, you know, between, you know, the two parties. Because that's exactly the point. That he's taking the view. And again, so if you have the Tours reading of Rabbeinu Yonah, right, namely that even in Chalon he holds, like, the Tshuvas Harif, so then you're saying, like, you know, how could he, you know, think, you know, that B'mokom Shinogu, you know, Lo Livnos, that's gonna fly. And the answer is shiny v'shiny. Those are two different things. Now, what is Rabbeinu Yonah's real approach? Again, we had their tour and that report about Chalon. We had, you know, the different Perushim, the Bach versus the Sma, and so on. In the actual Rabbeinu Yonah itself, as far as I could tell, he does speak, that basically quotes from Rimi Gash. And he quotes the version of the Rimi Gash about Mazikim Adadi. And he quotes that the Rimi Gash holds that in Chalon, there is a Chazaka, and that, you know, there would have been in Chatzar too, if not for Mazikim Echad Asashen. This is the Rabbeinu Yonah and Dabesot base. He doesn't quote the other Nimukim or other factors that the Rimi Gash, you know, he doesn't endorse it. He just, like, quotes the Shakavataria. Again, that would lead you to think that he, you know, accepts it, but he doesn't ever. And what's equally interesting to me is that in Cheskas Abatim, he just doesn't talk about it at all. Right? And all the Ziv, and the Chalon and the Bilam, as far as I could see, there's silence, you know, from Rabbeinu Yonah. So I think, you know, it's an open question. If he holds like the Rimi Gash, then the idea that he is also open to Mokom, you know, Shenagu, even in a Chatzer, is very, you know, doesn't require so much, you know, effort and work. If the Bach, the understanding of the tour, is correct, which just because he quotes Rabbeinu, the Rimi Gash, you know, is very conceivable, and maybe again, the fact that he doesn't really get involved, he's just kind of reporting. So then I think this idea that we're trying to develop right now, which is that there's a fundamental difference between a makom, right, in which chatzer is not perceived, you know, as a makom kpeda, you know, as opposed to others, that becomes very important. Now, it could be that both things are true anyway. In other words, that all things being equal, right, there are two different reasons why you can suspend as a griya. One is a kind of mechila and chazaka, and the other is b'makom. Everything I said may be true even if he does hold like the Rimi Gash. I just think that it's particularly going to have to be true if he was really an adherent of the Tshuvas Harif as the Bach in the tour suggests. Okay, so let's get back. So that's in terms of Rabbeinu Yonah. And again, the fact that he's also Machmir, as I mentioned, and, you know, in B'mokom She'ein Minag, in terms of the quality of the wall and some of the other qualities we'll get back to, might also be important for that too. Yeah.
Are you saying that according to the Rashba, community is not able to relate to Chatzar as a public space? Like, it's my focus about zoning laws?
I'm saying that no matter what, Chatzar remains. Well, we'll see. But let's look at what he says in the Tshuva again. Yeah, I am saying that. I'm saying that he thinks that it's Gedara and Shel Yisrael, and that is something that is overrides even the sensibility of the community.
The nature of the sensibility of the community is just not to, if they don't interact with each other in private ways, then there wouldn't be a Hezekiah problem at all.
Well, no, we're talking about whether or not structurally, if you have a chatzer, right, in which you own as private property, whether or not there can be any circumstance in which there will be no requirement of protecting against Hezekiah in such a place or not. And the Rashba seems to be saying, both in the Chidushim and, you know, even more emphatically in the Tshuva, that that is unacceptable. That the role of Tznius, and I'm adding now, therefore, you know, its application to any place like a chatzar, not Bikka necessarily, we'll, you know, maybe that's more flexible, but certainly chatzar, you know, depends, you know, on this being, you know, if this is Gedara and Shel Yisrael, then, you know, that's not something that society's, you know, rules are going to affect. I mean, remember, the whole tshuva is about, you know, when does Mokom Shenagu work? When doesn't it work? Both in Mominus and in Isurim. And this is one of the examples where it just doesn't work. The expected positive standards, you know, for Klal Yisrael are such that it is incompatible, you know, to quote societal norms. Societal norms, but I'm saying for Rabbeinu Yonah, not that Rabbeinu Yonah is more, you know, open, you know, to societal norms per se than the Rashba. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that in this particular issue, he thinks that the societal norms can transform, you know, a chatzer, you know, even though it is privately owned, you know, but that doesn't mean it's perceived as a personal space. I'm just using that language. I'm trying to find language. I don't want to go so far as to say, well, it's a commercial zone, because maybe he's not necessarily doing anything commercial there. I'm using commercial zone, you know, as just an example, you know, of, you know, something which everybody would agree, like, you know, it could be connected to your house, but you have, you know, you have your business and your chatzer. That's a little bit different than, you know, it's private property and you're treating it as personal property. So what about private property that's not commercial zone, you know, but that, you know, the whole, you know, community feels like when you're in your backyard, you know, you're on public display. You know, nobody has fences and they just don't perceive it that way. Like in some cultures, you know, everything is private, and some things, everything is transparent unless it's, you know, locked up in the house and so on. But it seems to me, we'll get to in just 1 second, that the Rashba is not buying even that. Okay. So this, the Rabbeinu Yonah, I think we've discussed. 1 second. And now we are, let's discuss the Rashba just a little bit more. So on the Rashba, we have so far discussed, 1 second. Yeah. So we discussed the Rashba's view about Gina. We'll get back to that. Gina b'mokom shenagu lo legdor, with the Yerushalmi and the Babli and so on. That we discussed already. That he doesn't pursue so much of the tshuva, by the way. Understandably, it does, you know, dovetail a little bit, meaning ignoring the Babli, or seeming to ignore the simple pshat in the Babli, which is what the Rashba is doing for the Yerushalmi. But again, this kind of, you know, having a different understanding of what that Babli is saying on Dalet Amud Aleph happens to be a little consistent with the Rambam, who also seems to have a little bit of a different reading of the Babli, maybe. But we'll get back to that in just a minute. The assumption of the Rajva, as we discussed, is that you know, there's no difference between, or culture came between, you know, lowering standards and so on. All that we have discussed. Yeah. So how does the Rajba get out of Rabbeinu Yonah's, let's get back to what we ended off with on Tuesday. How does the Rajba respond to Rabbeinu Yonah's culture game? Right? The Gemara thought in terms of the hierarchy that Gina is a more obvious Hezek Re'iyah than Chatzer, because even if you hold Hezek Re'iyah, Lo Shema Hezek shiny Gina. And therefore, if Malkam Shenagu Loliv knows applies to Gina, which is a simple pshat of Dalet Omer Aleph, then Hua Din V'Kol Shekein Chatzer. Right. So here the Rajba is very clear in saying that a qualitative, he doesn't describe fully what that is, but a qualitative change takes place between the Man Damar Hezek V'Yashma Hezek and Lo Shma Hezek in terms of the relationship between Chatzar and Gina. I mean, it isn't a straightforward hierarchy. Again, but implicitly by saying that, instead of going for an easier answer, right, the Rajba is acknowledging that Gina, in terms of Einabisha, is Hezek Re'iyah. In other words, the Rabbeinu Yonah's assumption in the Kol Shekein is that when the Gemara says shiny Gina, and they quote the din of Einabisha, right, that is shiny Gina Lekula Alma Hezek Re'ishma Hezek Begina. The Gemara never says those words, right? And there is an alternative, and that is that what the Gemara is saying, Gemara thought that, right? And but the Gemara's conclusion, you know, was no, it's not, that's not Midin Hezek Re'iyah, that's Midin Einabisha. And that Einabisha is something independent. Now why would Einabisha be something independent, not Hezek Re'iyah at all? Then you don't even need to answer that question, because the Gemara never ever said that Gina is superior to Chatzer, you know, when it comes to the requirement of Hezek Re'iyah. They just said something about Einabisha. So again, Einabisha, as we know, you know, it's such an interesting thing. We already, you know, have confronted it, encountered it, and encountered some of the discussions around it. So number one, think about Einabisha is that, like, you know, it's a bit of a mystical, you know, concept. We don't know exactly what it is. We still want to talk about that, right, Eitan? Eitan on the Zoom. So, you know, it's a kind of a mysterious idea, number one. So however it works, it works. But it also seems to work, however it works, in a kind of more, I think the way I put it previously was, once you take, you know, that leap, you know, so it's actually kind of a more direct Hezek than what we're talking about Hezek Re'iyah and a Chatzer, right? Because somehow you are, you know, again, whether it's neutralizing, you know, the hidden hashgacha, or it's just, you know, because of privacy, so you're kind of ayin harayin it, you know, you're giving it a bad karma, whatever you want to explain. I mean it in a real way, though. In the end of the day, you're, you know, again, let's take the Ravan, like, you know, you're shooting mitlikali, you're shooting daggers at the tvua. So, in the end of the day, again, number one, you know, it's a bit of a leap. Number two, it is Hezek, but it's a very different kind of Hezek. So you could say, that's not Hezek Re'iyah, really. That is something called Einabisha, right? Maybe it's actionable, but, you know, and that's exactly what the Sma kind of said. Which Sma? Exactly. The Sma in Shinai and Ches, when the Shulchan Aruch quoted Hezek Re'iyah in that context, right? So what happened? The Beis Yosef, it's clear from the Shulchan Aruch and the earlier iteration of the Beis Yosef, and then the later poskim, the Gra, the Tur, I mean, Tur and the Gra, earlier the Tur and later the Gra, that they all understand they're bringing Hezekiah into Hilchos Nezikin, correct? And that's important for us, you know. Doesn't mean that, you know, it's a typical case, but it means that it's Shayach. We began our year discussing the relationship between Bava Kama and Bava Basra, right, and saying that Bava Kama is more clear-cut, there's a Mazik, there's a Nizak, there's a Knisa Bershuso, there's not an Ala Mazik or Ala Nizak Laharchik, right? Good, so if we're going to, nonetheless, it's like, you know, the Rambam, you know, if you want to put Pasheo Kemazik where it is, and then you also want to mention it in Hilchos Hazikin, that's a very interesting phenomenon. Fine. Either way, the Sma rebelled, right? And the Sma said, you know, don't misconstrue, right? In what way?
It's not to compare the Hezekiah of
Hezekiah. There's Hezekiah of Hilchos, and there's Hezek Al Yedei Re'iyaso that's mentioned here in Siman Shein Ayin Ches, correct? And never the twain shall meet. And what are those two things? The one in Shein Ayin Ches is Ein Abisha, basically. It's like, you know, throwing, it's like what the Ravan said, but the Ravan said it as the example of Hezekiah in a Chatzer. Right, the Ravan is explaining why is it that, you know, Hezekiah, which we pass in Shema Hezek in a Chatzer, why don't you say Alan Nizek Laharchek Asatzmo? Right, so the Ravan, the Or Zeruah, the Rimigash and Vamad Beis, the Ramban, the Rajba, etc., the whole many many Rishonim say because it's Gira delay, and then the Ravan, right, is very explicit to explain that the Gira delay is Mikle Kali, according to the Gemara Baba Metzia and Ein Abisha. Another example of Ein Abisha certainly being integrated into maybe even the paradigm case of Hezekiah. But what the Sma was saying is no, not at all. Shein Ayin Ches is quoting Ein Abisha because, you know, once you take the leap that there is such a thing, you know, then that's direct mazik. And that's monetary mazik, I would add. But what we're looking at in the Kuf Mems and the Kuf Nuns is, you know, privacy. Again, he happens to portray privacy in terms of, you know, the restrictive use and therefore the lowering of the value of the property. Okay. You know, I'm more partial. I'll think that may be true also. I'm more partial to the more ambitious, you know, privacy idea that's the USA. But at the end of the day, by that split in the Sma, you know, is very, very telling. So that once you hold that way, you could read the Gemara this way. Say the Gemara thought that Gina, you know, is Hezekiah, and therefore, you know, Kuadin or Kol Shekein, Chatzer. And then the Gemara said, no. It's Ein Abisha. It's the Shein Ayin Ches, not the Kufnun Zion. Okay. The Rabbeinu Yonah obviously didn't hold that way. It's explicit in the language of Rabbeinu Yonah that Ein Abisha is a din of Hezekiah, like it is in the Ravon. Again, it's even stronger than the Ravon, because for the Ravon, it's like the paradigm case of Gira Delay. But certainly it's also, and the Rajba didn't solve the problem that way. He didn't say, what are you talking about? There's no Gemara that says it's such a hierarchy. He accepted the hierarchy. And that's very important. However, that doesn't mean everybody has to. Right? So the Rama, for example, in Siman Chaf, they have it there, Yossi? What does the Rama say in Siman Chaf? It's very short. I think, just the relevant part.
Yeah, the point is that, like, you know, we said an aspect of the Tzniusa.
The what?
Like, you know, we said an aspect of Tzniusa.
Of Tzniusa, Lamaskana.
Yeah.
But only Lamaskana.
It sounds like in...
When it says V'chein Begina, because we don't accept that pshat once we accept... Read it, as you'll see.
So, the thing that Kika Pani good about this, the less of a high time off, the movement time of the man number has been a little shahazi Pani,
oh. Meaning, when the Gemara was saying that Gina was Midin Ein Abisha, right? So the word v'chein, right, was going to be in terms of the materials, correct? But, says the Ramah, once we accept the Lishna Basra that has a Gri'ya Shema Hezek, right, the v'chein is no longer just about what do you call it? It's now about Hezek Ri'ya. Correct? Now keep going. Meaning, we thought originally, it's pretty subtle, but this is what he's saying, I think. He's saying, we thought originally, the Gemara asked a question, they thought it was Tzniusa Dira. The Gemara says, no, Hezek Ri'ya Lo Shema Hezek, there's a different explanation for Gina, namely Lishna Bisha. Right? Aye, what about V'chein? The answer is Gevil V'gazes. But then in the next Amud, when we conclude that Hezek Ri'ya Shema Hezek, so now we're back to saying V'chein means Hezek Ri'ya, and that's because Gina is also a Mokum Dira. Right? So in the hierarchy, according to the Ramah, right, the Gemara never changed its mind. The Gemara always knew that Chatzer, the Gemara was saying, Hezek Ri'ya means, never means Eina Bisha. Eina Bisha is a different factor. The Gemara thought, if we're Shomer Tzniusa in a Gina, then certainly in a Mokom, which is more Mokom Dira, Kol Shekei. The Gemara said, no, there's no such din. It's all midin in Abisha. I bat v'chein, gvil. Then the Gemara changed its mind. Wait, by the way, even within that reading of the Gemara, you could have said that Gina, right, is only midin lishnabisha. And lishnabisha is not Hezek Ri'ya. And the Mishnah's V'chein it never says anywhere in the Gemara that, you know, that the V'chein, you know, is part of the rewrite. Correct? So it's important. The Ramah is kind of in between. On the one hand, implicit in the Ramah is a rejection of Rabbeinu Yonah's very question, and the Rajba, which the Rajba actually accepted. He's saying Lishna Bisha never was perceived as Hezek Ri'ya. It's like the Sma, or the Sma is like the Ramah. Right? Now, once that's true, you could have said, well, that's true Lamaskana too. There are two different dinim. Gina is Eina Bisha. Right? Chatzer is Siusa. The Ramah doesn't go that far. The Ramah says, once we know there is a category called Siusa, right, we're going to also assume that v'chein begina means that it applies there too. But it's always in a lower level. It's not equal to chatzer. It's at a level lower than chatzer. Because it's not as much a mokom dira. We thought originally that it wasn't that at all. But it's, again, it's very easy to say that we never thought it was. And we still don't think it is. The Gilyan Hashas, the Gilyan quoted in Shifu Kubet says, do I have that line? Yeah, go ahead. You have it? Yeah. So it's like two different dinim. And then, of course, there's the Rambam. What is Shitas Rambam? What is Shitas Rambam? So the Rambam has a very, and again, we read Halacha Tezvav a second ago. Let's all read Halacha Tezayin. Oh. So the Rambam says something very astonishing, which is that the Kosel in a Gina is only 10 Tfachim, not Dalid Amos. That's after establishing that Dalid Amos, which based on the Gemara, is the shear to neutralize, to remedy, as a Gria. Right? So the Ravid already asks, what's the language of the Ravid? Yeah. Right, what happened here? So the we'll discuss a little more maybe, but there's a tshuva of the Rambam to the Chachmei Lunil that the Nozakelim quote, if you look at the full tshuva and the tshuvas of Rambam, which says what? First of all, the Rambam, it's very fascinating. I mean, the Rambam is like very dismissive even of the question. Right? He like makes fun of the question. You have language of the Rambam and the tshuva? Like, why are you bothering me with such a silly question? No, we'll get, yeah, we'll get in a second, but what does the... Does anybody have language of the tshuva? Yeah, go ahead. Okay. That's number one. It's not like you said, good question. You know, keep asking, you know, you're on the right to keep asking such powerful questions. You know, it's part of your spiritual growth. He said, you know, don't bother me with such silly, obvious questions. Go ahead. Why? Oh, first of all, he calls Hezekria Hezek Gadol. I like that. L'shitaso, Perikid Aleph Halacha Dalet, right, where he compares it to Kitra Beis Akise. Go ahead. But the examples that he gives are like, you can see why it's Hezek Gadol, right? Very private things. Presumably he doesn't limit it to those. And then he talks about the other tzniu. So go ahead. So this is like a really important conversation going on here. So again, first of all, it's fascinating that Rambam dismissed the question because, in a way, it's like this, you know, especially in light of the Rabbeinu Yonah Rajba, you know, debate, you know, what if he had Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, had asked this question or tried, you know, the Rambam, imagine how dismissive the Rambam would have been, right? But the truth is, you know, the simple reading of the Gemara, you know, it's perfectly clear that the Gemara at least thought that Gina, you know, was Asur, that you need a wall, and that it's a din, and that it's more compelling than Chatzer. I mean, that at least is clear, so it's not a ridiculous question. You know, but the Rambam, because he has a very clear view of what Hezekria is, you know, it's diras adam, it's privacy. Again, I'm guessing that it's not limited only, you know, to the things that he describes, right? But because of those things are like, you know, obvious or the apex of human dignity and privacy. It probably is a broader value. You know, just of privacy per se. But what he's saying is it's a personal, it's not financial. And this inabisha, he says, is purely financial. It's not personal at all. Moreover, obviously the Rambam has some misgivings, and this is completely not surprising, you know, about inabisha. Now again, important to note, he's not dismissing it. I mean, the Rambam, as we know, you know, was such a, you know, the Rambam, you know, once he reached a certain conclusion, he was like a very confident, you know, bold posek. So, you know, there are things in the, in Chazal, you know, Mazikin and, you know, Kishuf, you know, which seem to be treated as authentic or genuine, you know, problematic halakhically, but you know, in terms of realities, that's certainly the predominant impression, and that's also the predominant view. And even post-Rambam, that's the predominant view. And even like other supreme rationalists, you know, like the Gra and others, like very adamant about it and very critical of the Rambam for dismissing some of these things. So if he wants to dismiss them, he can astrology, you know, the Rambam, when he you know, attains the level of clarity from his point of view, he's not diplomatic. There's no political correctness in the Rambam, okay? Except where there should be. But, you know, he's not worried about saying what he thinks, is what I'm trying to say, per se. So it is interesting that he doesn't dismiss Ein Abisha completely. He calls it Midas Chasidus. That's curious. That's interesting. But certainly his more, you know, rationalist, you know, if you can't, you know, unless it's a clear part of the Masorah, you know, the default is, you know, to question some of these things that are not scientifically understandable or comprehensible. That's certainly got to be part of the Rambam's, you know, position here. But to say that it was always Midas Chasidus, or to say that the, you know, this is a Shinuya Dechuka Bialma, even when it was said, is different. You might say, oh, the Maskana, you know, if I were writing the Rambam's Tshuva to the Chacham Milanel, I would have frankly kind of half, you know, worked with or invoked the way I understand the Rashba. Okay. And that is that, you know, everything gets recalibrated, you know, once we conclude that Chatzer is Hezek Re'yashma Hezek. And until that point, we don't know exactly what Hezek Re'yah. Again, we started the year with this, and we're not, I hope we're making progress, but, you know, we haven't left it all behind because there's so many different shitas and different indications. Like, what exactly is Hezek Re'yah? Right? Still ringing, you know, very, you know, clearly in our ears, you know, is the Ramban's, you know, formulation, you know, about Eina Bisha and Lishna Bisha and Sniusa, Inami Nami Nami, as if they're all, you know, one thing, and the Raja picked it up in one of his Tshuvas too. Right? So the combination of, like, what is this? You know, and the Ramban and the Rambam and the Ramban, the Ramban and the, you know, this idea of, you know, it's personal assault, it's, you know, all these things, and therefore also the relationship between, like, the three primary things that we've already discussed, like Eina Bisha, you know, the constricted usage of the property, and Sniusa of one form or another, you know, it's still very unclear. Very unclear. So what I would have said if I was writing to the Chacham Milanel, you know, Baruch Hashem, it wasn't me, it was Rabba, but I would have said, you know, Lahalacha, you know, this all got thrown out. The Mishnah says Gina is something. The Gemara thought that it was Midin Eina Bisha. When they thought that, you know, they were thinking that Hezek Re'yah is more of a typical kind of mazik, you know, a Dine Mamanis kind of mazik, a Choshem Mishpat Halacha mazik. Once they decided, but if that were true, then Gina is far superior and more obvious than Chatzer. But once the Gemara concluded that Chatzer is Hezek Re'yah and it's Shema Hezek, everything gets recalibrated. We don't think of Hezek Re'yah anymore as Miklik Kali Be'enav, you know, and he's destroying the, if he destroys the Tvua, somehow it has bad, you know, effect also on the person, you know, if people are looking at him all the time, where people are, you know, jealous of him. You know, or it takes away from their, you know, our sense of Arevus or Avos Yisrael, whatever the reason, you know, behind Ein Abisha, or takes away again, if they're watching him too closely, you know, the ability, you know, for the Rabbonu Shel Olam, you know, to, you know, invest a certain kind of, you know, hashgacha in that person's behavior because everybody's seen what's going on. Whatever it is, whatever the, we'll talk about it on a Monday. try to sum it up, you know, just what the different perspectives are, how to explain Aitna Bhisha. But whatever it is, at the end of the day, you could have said, you know, that doesn't, you know, you could have said what the other Rishonim said, which is, oh, there are two dinim. Or you could have said, Lamaskana, we know there's Gina, so if there's no Hezekriya, then we have to say Aitna Bhisha, and we have to give it the status of something that is actionable. That's not Tichuya B'Alma, in that sense. In other words, it's not just Midas Chasidus. It doesn't sound like Midas Chasidus. Right? Then Lamaskana, we recalibrate. But the Rambam didn't say it. Rambam said, there's a Shakavataria. They know they're going back. It's kind of not a rigorous Shakavataria. So it never was more than Midas Chasidus and the Tichuya B'Alma. Okay. I'm guessing that that reflects the Rambam's discomfort with Aitna Bhisha to begin with. Again, not to the point that he dismisses it completely, because he does call it Midas Chasidus, but with, you know, the inability to kind of pin it down what it is, or he might have rejected it completely, but didn't. So at minimum, it remains Midas Chasidus. Okay. So what I am trying to say, like, you know, just to sum up, is that the Rabbeinu Yonah's question assumes that Gina, the Lishna Bhisha, is Hezekriya. That he says explicitly. The Rajba accepts that. Some of the Rishonim say that explicitly. You don't need to say it that way. The Sma would certainly not say it that way. The Rama implicitly is not saying it that way. They're saying, no, there's just no basis for Rabbeinu Yonah's question. Now, once you take the Rama's view, or Udi Imei, the idea of, you know, what happened to the Maskana? Is there a Din of Aitna Bhisha or not? That's an open and interesting question. And then you have the Rambam to, you know, fit into the mix as well. The Rambam is, even dismissing in the Havamina, you know, is not a serious, you know, Shaklavatarya or Sahavamina. But certainly Lamaskana, he doesn't think that there's Hezekriya and Agina at all. And the Rambam's conclusion is that the, you know, we thought it was Midin Aitna Bhisha. Now we think it's Midin Hezekriya. The Gilion and Shita Gobetz is saying, we thought it was Midin Aitna Bhisha. Now we think it's both Midin Aitna Bhisha and Midin Hezekriya. Right? The Rambam's conclusion is there's no Hezekriya. You know, and the Aitna Bhisha is some sort of a Midas Chasidus. And therefore it doesn't need a wall other than to make sure, you know, that you're not Nitfas, you know, Kaganov. That's what he explains. And for that, 10 Tfakim is good enough. Yeah.
Is it possible for the other Ramah that he's making an equation between Chatzar and Gina? I mean, not even that Gina would be a lower level. Just like,
I'm not sure. I just think that if the way that Hagdarah, both the Ramah and the Rambam, are emphasizing that Hezekriya has to do with, you know, Adam and the Dirasa Adam, I just think that from the perspective of Dirasa Adam, you know, it makes sense, but you're right. I think you're right. I mean, technically, I'm not sure. I just think it makes sense, especially meaning because I'm still looking at all this from the framework of the Rabbi Midiona and the Rajba a little bit. In other words, to say, is it possible? Like, what would you think of Maskana? You know, if there's a Makom Shenagu Shalo Ligdor, which works for Gina, you know, what impact would that have on Chatzar? So if they're equal, you'd say, you know, you don't really get any benefit from all this, is what I'm trying to say. If Lamaskana Chatzar is worse, it catapults over Gina in a hierarchy, then the idea that, you know, you can still accept Dalet Amud Aleph Kipshuto, that Makom Shenagel Shelo Ligdor, you know, works in Gina, but not conclude that way in Chatzar is reasonable. So I you're right. Technically, I think you're right. I'm a little bit influenced by this Rajba or Benyona part, and that's how I'm looking at it. But I think logically, it also, you know, it also makes sense. Okay. So, and as I say, in the end of the day, if you think, you know, that even in the Maskana, that, you know, Aitna Bhisha is still part of the mix, which the Ravan does, which again, the Shinayin Ches people, not the Sma, seem to, which the Ramban did, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's a really interesting question, as I've said in the past, you know, like, what does all this overlap? How does it all work? But, you know, instinctively, I think there's something to it all, meaning this idea of, you know, your eyes shooting daggers and, you know, having negative impact on the tevuah, You know, and Kol Shekein, you know, that has, you know, is that just in the Tevuah, or, you know, that it's all because of, according to these views, some sort of lack of privacy. Right. In other words, there's a common, it's true that the actual manifestations of expressions of what it is that Hezekiah is protecting against are different. Right, whether it's Saina Bisha, Lishna Bisha, but there's something, I believe in the Ramban, that the Ramban isn't saying, oh, there's this, that, the next thing. You know, I think he's saying they're all Hezekiah, and they're all, you know, different, but overlapping. And I think that in some respect, it's easy to make that, I don't say easy, it's compelling to make that case. So we have really very different views, how to read the Gemara, the implications of the Gemara, how Lishna Bisha ends up, and implications for other things too. Okay. Good. So what is the main point of the Rashba with this recalibration? So, you know, again, in the end of the day, what the Rashba is saying is now, like the Rabbeinu Yonah still thinks, that's also fascinating, right? Not only does he think that Eina Bisha was always Hezekiah, and Eina Bisha continues to be the Din and Gina, you know, and it's Hezekiah, he still continues to cling to the idea that Gina is worse than Chatzar, right? Because of the Eina Bisha part. That's a more acute Hezekiah. That's fascinating. Again, if you were told like the Ravon, that somehow that's like the classic or the basis, that's the Gira delay, that's understandable, I guess. Only even then it's not Mukrach. Okay. So, but the point in the Rashba, as I was trying to say the other day, seems to be that everything gets recalibrated because originally we're thinking Hezekiah, like, is a more typical kind of Hezek. But let me say something a little bit different. In the Gemara, we still have to like, pin this down, but I said it a couple of minutes ago. There are like four or five shinies, right? It starts with Gina and Eina Bisha, but you have, you know, Hezekiah the Rabbim, Hezekiah the bias, you know, the inability to protect yourself. Now, those are privacy issues, right? So why is it so obvious that those are different than Chatzar? How do those stack up with Chatzar? In other words, let me say it this way. For the Rashba to say, and he doesn't explain it so much, certainly not in the Chidushim, but much, much more so in the Tshuva, which we'll get to in one more second. For the Rashba to say, you know, this all gets recalibrated once you hold, you know, once you hold Hezekiah, Shema Hezek. So we just look at the whole issue in a very different way. To say that about the relationship between Eina Bisha and, you know, Chatzer, Mokom Diras Adam, Sheshayach, you know, Ba, you know, Milsa, Ditzniusa, is one thing. But what about, let's say, vis-a-vis the other stuff. What about Chatzer? How do Chatzer fits in with those other Chilukim? Right? Well, we'll see some things about it. But now, again, there's no Hechrech, there's no pressure, you know, to say that Chatzer also kind of catapults over those others. It probably doesn't. Because they're all of a certain type. They're all privacy, clear privacy issues. However, what I really mean to say in the recalibration is the following idea, and that is, on the one hand, the Gemara thought Hezekiah, you know, it's like economic, you're shooting daggers, however that works with the Eina Bisha, you know, and you're lessening the value of the Tefillah, you're damaging it spiritually, physically, economically, whatever it is, okay? At the same time, the Gemara is comfortable with Hezekiah being about Tzniusa. Right, Hezekiah the Rabbim, Hezekiah the Bias, you know, the inability to protect yourself, you know, in terms of Gog versus Chatzar, as opposed to Chatzar and Chatzar, Gog and God. Oh. So I think that there could be, like, another factor, another element here, and that is that maybe the Gemara originally was comfortable with Hezekiah, again, when it's pretty, you know, clear in, as a negative manifestation, as a typical kind of mazik, right? So, of course, if it's economic, once you take the, you know, the leap about Eina Bisha, that's clear. You know, but who did the tznius part, the idea that hezek the rabim, hezek the bias, where you can't protect yourself, you know, that from like from a pure tznius point of view, that those make sense as hezek riyah, also makes sense. Because there's a certain, you know, any culture understands, you know, that, you know, the privacy of the home in terms of, you know, certain kind of relationships and certain types of activities should be, I mean, again, I should say that because maybe, you know, maybe we're at a point in culture where people don't, but at least typically we were, you know, that's kind of sacrosanct and that needs to be, you know, protected. However, the thing about a chatzer, in my opinion, is that it's a little more subtle. I can say it this way, but I don't think it's the only way to say it. Let me say it this way, based on, you know, what we have discussed previously, right? When I was trying to portray Bava Basra versus Bava Kama, you know, in Hilchos Shkenim versus Sefer, which is Sefer Kinyanim versus Hilchos, you know, Nezikin, one of the things I was suggesting, well, again, with the model of the Poshe HaKimazik and so on, one of the things I was suggesting was that, you know, the obligation, whether it's called Yisrael HaRevim or V'haftal Re'acha Kamocha, or specifically in terms of Shechinim, and so on, or Gedoran Shel Yisrael, is that, you know, the sensibility and the value and the obligation to, like, uphold that, to project it across the community of Klal Yisrael and so on, that has an impact on defining, you know, Hezek. And that's a chiddush, because you could have said, right, whether it's about Poshe HaKimazik or about this, you could have said, you know, that, you know, it just depends from a, you know, objective, you know, impact, you know, the deleterious or detrimental or adverse impact point of view, you know, yes or no, does it qualify or not? Does it reach the threshold? And what I've been arguing is that when this is a, like an important value that defines the community, or that everybody has, you know, an inalienable, we'll call it, a right to, right, then that bumps up, that redefines or refines what constitutes Nezek. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, as far as that is concerned, maybe Chatzer is like the key. And this goes to the question that we, another question that we began the year with, which is, how come, you know, again, just, you know, there's an argument, Hezek Riyah Shema Hezek. So we would have thought, like the Gemara did here on Days on Days originally, that we're trying to figure out whether or not, you know, what you see ever is considered Hezek. And the answer is either a big yes or a big no. And yet you have all these shinies on base of the base. And not only that, but throughout Shas, we gave you a whole bunch of cases to look at, some which we never actually discussed yet, but we will. You know, there are cases that are Hezek Riyah, and they're not called Hezek Riyah, or they're not at least clearly subject to the debate, Hezek Riyah Shema Hezek or Lo Shema Hezek. And Bilam's story is, you know, is quoted only in the very end of the whole discussion of Bava Basra about it. The end of the discussion about Nafsa Amacham and Aleph. Right? And, you know, the Ziz case, the Gemara says, oh, maybe that is dependent on Hezek Riyah Shema Hezek or Lo Shema Hezek. We try to explain why that's closer in some respects to the Chatzar issue. But some of the other issues, like, you know, Chazaka B'Chalon and so on, like, it didn't seem like there is a Machlokas Hezek Riyah Shema Hezek. So what I want to say is that maybe Chatzar is a particularly, like, you know, it's a fault line, right, in Hezek Riyah Shema Hezek, you know, for what we're talking about, this subtle idea. This idea of, you know, Gedoran Shel Yisrael, we'll call it, or, you know, Nizke Adam Adam, or whatever you want to call it. In other words, this idea that it's a function of how you're supposed to, you know, the values that you're supposed to project in society, you know, Hatznei Leches, you know, could have been the number one principle of Yadis. Wow. You know, we're happy that there are more principles, but the fact that it could have been is an amazing thing. And it doesn't mean in the narrowest sense of a snail. Like, it's a posture, it's an attitude, it's a perspective. It's supposed to inform, you know, not just how you do certain very private, or how you engage in certain very private kind of behavior, necessary or or permitted or sanctified, you know, depending on how you, you know, the context and so on. Like, it's more than that. So the point is that chatzer, for the same reason that chatzer, you know, according to some, is not hezek ri'iya, right? Because there's no clear economic element, and maybe even from its neos point, it's all good. He's in public, he's in this chatzer, he'll behave in a certain way. It's not gira delay, is it? Not so obvious. So he'll behave more carefully, right? So in a way, chatzer, because of its more, whatever it is, ambiguous status, you know, may end up being not, oh, so it just gets in and it's, you know, it's low on that. That's certainly the way Rabbi Yonah is saying it. But no, it's the kind of the fault line of what you think this concept really is and how typical a nezek it really is. So by saying hezek ri'iya, shema hezek, even in a chatzer, that's where the machlokes is, what we're really saying is, yes, this is a, he'll call it shechinim, you know, klal Yisrael bilam, you know, kind of halacha. And that then recalibrates everything. So it's also very interesting in light of this to think, like, how we should formulate the difference between Gina and Chatzel Maskan. Again, Rabbi Yonah thinks the hierarchy still remains. Fine. That has implications. But the Rajba thinks otherwise. So in the Chidushim, it's interesting that he does not, you know, elaborate so much. Like, what's the difference? The Ran, I think you mentioned the Ran for before, right? You have the line of the Ran where he talks about?
Yeah.
This is what Gimel Amud Aleph, right?
Yeah,
go ahead.
He said, the time of the Nusa, Shem the Kotze, the heads of the Yosef, the Shem Hashmisho, the Pomit Pet.
Oh. So it's interesting. To him, it's two elements. Tashmishav shal Adam, as opposed to what? Tvua, money, etc. But then he adds that people are makpidim b'kach. So does he really mean, you know, in the narrowest sense, you could say, oh, you know, typically people care about that. They're sensitive to that. Or does he mean it's a davar shechayavim lahakpid alav? Meaning, you know, money's money, and, you know, either way, it doesn't come with that kind of an emotional, you know, it's not a value issue so much. You know, but this is you know, diras ha'adam, it's tashmishe, you know, ha'adam. So it's not just, you know, people are makpid, right? It's a davar shelkpeda, that's how I would have said. Okay, so I think this is really interesting. Again, what exactly, you could say, oh, difference between money and personal. If he wants it to be niske guf baguf, like kutra beis hakiste, it's got to be personal. It can't just be about the money. That's not what I'm saying now. What I'm saying is I think it goes beyond that. Maybe that's what the Rambam was saying, kind of in the Chachma Lonil, right? But what I'm saying is, no, it's more than that, or the Rama. You know, when he's talking about Gina, Gina is, but Gina qualifies because there is also an element of, you know, Diras Adam, Tashmish, you know, Adam. But what I'm saying is I think it's even further. And that it's this idea of, like, the value bumping up with its Nusa, you know, kind of being a right, an inalienable right that everybody needs to protect for each other for the sake of Klal Yisrael. You know, of course that's, you know, that's way more than simply the difference between. And that's where I think the Rajba and the Tshuva, right, is really so so significant. Who has the language open there? So we can just get that on the full record. Again, we did it already, so we can just go very quickly. But the primarily, there are several really important things about that Rajba and the Tshuva. Again, the Ran has already weighed in a little bit, you know, about why the Rajba Udeimei Lamaskana, you know, would put Chatzer higher, you know, on the list than Gina. But I'd say the Tshuva's Rajba is way more, for instance, the Rajba, but it's way more, you know, suggestive. Okay, so again, we know some of the wonderful things about it already. You know, that's why it's a little anticlimactic, but it's about this topic. The other thing in the Rajba is that here the Rajba joins the two issues in the end. In other words, the focal point of his discussion is Minhag HaMakom Shelo Livnos. But in the end of the piece, you know, he joins it to the Tuvas Arif, Rimigash, and so on. So just, if you don't mind, you have it open?
Yeah.
I'll say, yeah. Oh, they're saying minig betos is strong words, right? Okay. Oh, just like Ramban said about the difference between Adam ba'Adam and Mammon, right? So far he's saying Mechila applies to Mammon, right? But Mechila doesn't apply beyond that. Here he goes further than Ramban, as we've seen already, but this is, it's in this context, right? And this is called Gedoron Shel Yisrael. Go ahead. Meaning he doesn't have bilus to undermine, you know, the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam. But that is fighting words, right? Okay. What about Gina? Hashem Ken Gina? Right. He's not saying it's Midas Chassidus, it's like the Rambam. He's not saying that it isn't real. He's saying, but it's Dine Mamanus. It's like any other, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, about the difference between Chatzer, let's say, and Chalom, in terms of Mechila. Maybe because one is more mominous, limiting the property, or Ayin Bisha, or whatever, but the person can protect himself, and it's not, right? Okay, keep going.
Oh. So the actual rumor, the Hayy Nami, the Tanu,
right, but that's to mention that the Ran also brings that Raya, but the Ran himself brings that Raya. Okay, in the Mishnah. Good diyuk. Go ahead. Yeah. Then he makes a transition, right, to explicit Mechila. Go ahead. So here is where he joins the two topics. But it's interesting that here he says Karavani Lomar. If you were to accept the box reading of the Torah for Rabbeinu Yonah, then, right, the relationship between the two cases for the two authorities is inverted. In other words, according to the Torah's, according to the Bach's understanding of the Torah of Rabbeinu Yonah, again, it could be it's wrong. You know, he's a strict, you know, riff person, right, when it comes to the interaction between the two parties. And yet, b'makom, that's what I was saying before, b'makom, b'atra, you know, the nehigi, lo livnos, that's going to work. Whereas the Rajba can't even hear anything about Makom Shinagu Lo Livnos. That's certainly Neged Gedoron Shel Yisrael. Whereas maybe, like Kitro Besakise, there can be circumstances where an absolute Mechila will work in Kutro. Right? So that's very important. In another tshuva, Chelik Beis Simin Kuf Pei, again, the Rajba
just on that point, there is another Rashba in another Tshuva in Chelik Vav that the Beis Yosef quotes, that he explicitly says that Mechila, he even says Misayaya, actually works on Hazagria.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. That's in a case of Kenyan, though, right?
But Hazagria is Nechla on that.
Yeah. So I just wanted to bring two more tshuvas here. That you'll tell me, keep that one open. If it's not the one that I'm quoting, so we'll get back to it in just a second. Everybody can hear? Eitan? Kasevitz? Yeah? Everybody can hear, right? Okay, great. Amazing technology. We put it together without the team. Okay. So in the tshuva base, Kufpe, I'm just going to end in 1 minute. Anybody have that open? You probably have it on your computer. Somebody? Okay, have it. He says, you know, he was asked about the question of the riff. Yeah, just say it loud, though. That, of course, is probably taken from the Ramban. Okay, you can skip that. That's again what we talked about the other day, the Eitan Sokolov brought up. Yeah. Any quotes from Rimigash? What does he, how does he conclude? So he's basically being very fair. He's telling you this is an old argument, a current argument, an unresolved argument, right? What's his conclusion?
If you have a real maisa, then it would be a chazaka.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Ramban is also that
Ubab says, however, my Rebbe the Ramban sides with the Riff. Go ahead. So he leaves it up to you. So that's fascinating, right? Meaning, he's not leaving it up to you on Makom Shenagu, right? So he links them, but he, you know, so I think it's just a very interesting inverse. Good. So there's another tshuva of the Rajba. You said Chelek Vavek. I have another one. Gimel Kufsa Amak Beis, where he talks about Kutra Beis Akise and Hezek Re'ia according to the Rif. Does Kinyan work? You have that one? Gimel Kufsa Amak Beis, yeah. So here he's discussing the question. Let's say you make a kinyan, an actual kinyan, right, to be mochel, right, the, you know, Kutra Beis Akise and Hezek Re'ia according to the Rif. Interesting, right? He didn't say Hezek Re'ia of Chatzer L'Kula Alma. Could have said also. Might have been an idea. I would have said that for the Rambam and, you know, and for the Ramah. But okay. Yeah, so his own inclination is no. Because you can always say Kinyan Betos. Chashavti, right, Uchal Lizbol, right, but, you know, turns out that I can't. Okay. But here he says, here he points out that the Ramban, in that Sugyan Chav Gimel, we still have to touch on it a little bit more, and that Sugyan Chav Gimel, where this comes up, disagrees, correct?
Okay.
So it's a real suffix. Don't take initiative either way. So again, I think it's a very curious, interesting thing that, like the Ramban was Makel, the Makom Kenyan, and the Rajba was Mach. Even though the Ramban is more assertive or more unequivocal in his support of the Rif, let's say, than the Rajba was, at least la halakha. On the other hand, the Rajba, again, we trace this, the Rama, the Ramban, the Rajba, but the Rajba's formulation of Gedara and Shel Yisrael and so on is actually like the strongest of all the formulations. So I'm just trying to also show that you can't predict. There are always, different, issues. Again, part of the question in this case is like what, and we talked about this already, like what impact does Kenyan have? Like can Kenyan create like a whole different reality? So in a real sense, right, the question of Mechila and Chazaka per se, the question of Ba'atra, Denagu, Dafka, Lo Livnos, and the question of, Kenyan, these are three parallel questions, all of which test how implacable, we'll say, Hezek, Briya, Shma Hezek, Bechatzer, or whatever it is, Hezek, Briya, Shma Hezek really is. Is there any give? The three different scenarios. And what we're seeing is, if you look at Rabbi Yonah, and you look at the Rajba, and you look at the Ramban, you can see it in others as well, that you get very different fault lines, again, in terms of, where there is room for flexibility. And I think the reason for that is because, again, in all cases, we're dealing with something which is very nuanced and subtle, especially if it's noveya from the right and the value of tznius per se. And therefore, the idea that there could be circumstances in which, not that we wave it away and say we don't care about it, but we don't define, this value, particularly in terms of these kinds of conducts. In other words, that we can say, oh, it's a commercial zone or a non-private, or it's, this is just the relationship between the two of us. We're rewriting, what, et cetera. That is partially the reason why you end up with different expressions of flexibility and, of an implacable, like unshakable, conviction of no, but drawing the line at different places. Okay? So that, we're way over time. So let's, I still want to speak a little more about the Rambam. Tshuva and Ramban also speaks on Abdal and Ramban. But I want to speak on Sunday. I just want to sum up Mokom Shinoagu issues. Again, Hutza V'dafna, the quality of the wall, the materials, the those questions, Tosas Adav base and other Rishonim there, and Abdalid and the Rambam. If you can just look at Shulchan Aruch a little bit, the Rava quoted in the Book of Yosef also. Nebuch Yosef has a fascinating shita that is discussed in the poskim as well. Like, let's say there's a requirement of Hezek Re'iya, and one of the parties or partners wants, to build a more sturdy barrier. So he can't impose that on the other one if it's not Mokom Shenagu. So he decides he's going to build it in his own property. And the other party, Ma'akev. Well, what's to be Ma'akev? Right? I mean, it's better to build it with more durable material, but he wants to say, no, if we're going to build a wall already, I want it to be on the border so I could also use the wall. I could put my ladder against it, things like that. So I want to talk about that. And of course, the other one, in other words, whenever there's binyan betok shalom, what does that do to the standards? What's that all about? So those questions, very briefly, and then the other marmakomos that I gave you to try to move quickly through the other cases on base of the base, and we still have to discuss equal should fim, those kind of that question, the Ramah, the Rashash, but hopefully another couple of days, and then we're going to be moving beyond Hezek Re'iya to some of the other issues, and then we'll just move more quickly through the topic. Okay, so I hope everybody feels well on the Zoom and here. We look forward to having everybody back. For now, I'll try to remember to bring the computer, and we'll work through this reality.